Morning, everybody. We're happy to have y'all with us this morning. Will y'all please stand as we begin our first song and give God all of the glory. Bow your heads, we open up with prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and praise you, God. You shower your blessings upon us every day. You do great things, you do great things in our lives every single day, God. And we thank you and we praise you for what you are doing and what you're going to do, Lord. And Lord, as we come before you this morning in this service, this morning we want to dedicate to worshiping and praising you and hearing from you this morning, God, through your holy word and our pastor, I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us, that you prepare us for what you have for us, that we take that word in, and God, we use it and we change, and you use it to change our lives. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated for just a second. And I need you all to pray for Avery over here, Avery McVicker. She keeps smiling at me, and it causes me to smile. And then when we are smiling, it causes you to smile. And I told her we didn't want everybody to get the wrong idea about the church. So, Avery, quit smiling at me. See, look, everybody, look around you right now. See, told you what would happen. I like your smile. Don't. Oh, no. Oh, I thought you told me don't on Avery. No, I got it. Okay, announcements. You ready? All right, tonight youth group at 5 o'clock. Also, you see on your bulletin the community breakfast Saturday, August 29th. Listen, if you're able to help out with this, this is the Saturday we need you to help. Kevin and Pam and them and all Richie, all of them are going to be on vacation, so they won't be there. And if you come to community breakfast, you know what that means, right? Huh?
No pancakes,
right. And also, Dawn and I won't be there because we are going to be setting up for Ronnie's wedding later that day. So we need help on the community breakfast. So if you're able to help out on that, please, we need you to go to the water cooler and sign up so that we will know, because if we don't have enough help, we will have to cancel, all right? So if you're able to help out with that, please go back to the water cooler and sign up on that, all right? And then you see we got a church business meeting coming up next month, and Sunday school move up day is September 6th, and there are a couple of dishes that was left over at the picnic, and if you're missing tongs or a pan or something, it's downstairs on the island, okay? I think that's all I got. Oh, Angie Coer is still in the hospital. I've had several people ask me. She's still there. She may be getting out today. And our daughter Beth, everybody's asking me, is doing very well. And we want to thank you for your prayers. That's it.
All right, thank you, Pastor. Y'all, please stand. Today's worship is all about Jesus.
Christ alone, my hope is found.
you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay.
Next song talks all about that love that Jesus gave for us on the cross.
Up Calvary's mountain, wandered full moon, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on a cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer,
thank you for all that you have done for us on Calvary. For Lord, there was no other way that the debt could be paid but by you, your Son Jesus, in whom we are eternally grateful. And Lord, as he served us, may we also in turn serve him, that we would give our lives to him just as he gave his life for us. And so, Lord, we just pray that today that you would speak into the hearts and minds of every single person here, that you would draw them by faith through the hearing of your word, and Lord, that they would respond to you in their faith, that of unto salvation, and even that unto service. So, Lord, we come as your church, and we lift this worship to you to thank you, because you are so worthy to be praised. So we simply lift our voices to you out of adoration, out of love. And Lord, we pray that you are pleased with this worship as it's being lifted. And Lord, as it comes to the giving of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, we ask your blessing upon that as well, both gift and the giver, that both the gift and the giver will be used to the furtherance of your kingdom, that the gospel will go out from this place to the world, and the Lord, your kingdom will be built through that message. And Lord, as I speak of the message, Lord, I pray that as I speak from your word today, that that's the only words that the people remember. If it's something from me, that they would not remember it, but if it's inspired by you, Lord, may they take hold of it, grasp onto it, ponder it, wrestle with it, consider it, live by it. For it is your authority that I come here, not my own. So, Lord, I just pray if I'm going to say something that is not right or true, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would silence my lips, not allow me to speak it. Maybe I'm not the one to speak at all, that you would silence me and rise up the one to speak for you this day. This isn't about me, this is about you. So, Father, I give myself fully to you. Do with me as you will. In Jesus' most holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know if you noticed or not, but we got a whole mic today. Look at that. Huh? Yeah. Here, you need help? Let me get, I don't want you to fall again. I mean, yes, sir, buddy. Here, let me get you. Let me get you. There you go, buddy. Yeah, yeah, yes. Yeah, I'm an equal opportunity picker, just so you know. Hey, Craig is in Morgantown, right? Yeah, so he's in a Compass down there. And how's it going? Okay. So he's in a Compass in Morgantown. He's the move tired him out. So tomorrow they're going to put him to the test. Pray for Craig's strength, his physical strength. Yeah, and we're going to pray for his brain. We better start now. No, just kidding. pray for Kathy's patience. I understand, but, we love you, and we're praying for you and Craig, all right? All right, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Malachi chapter 3, and I've entitled this sermon, When Serving God Doesn't Seem to Pay. When Serving God Doesn't Seem to Pay. Let me start out with some few comments here today. And Dan, would you get me a water, please? If practice makes perfect, thanks. Never mind, Dan. Too late. If practice makes perfect and nobody's perfect, why practice? Right? Think about it, right? If people weren't meant to have midnight snacks, then why do they put a light in the refrigerator? Right? If money doesn't grow on trees, then why do banks have branches? I like this one. If the number two pencil is the most popular, why is it still number two? If you can't drink and drive, why do bars have parking lots? If a train station is where a train stops, what is a workstation? Why is the time when the traffic is the slowest called rush hour? What happens when you get scared half to death twice? If a word in a dictionary is misspelled, how would you know? If a cow laughed, my mom's intent, she loves this. If a cow laughed, Mom, would milk come out her nose? You know that little indestructible black box that is used on planes? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Nobody knows what I'm talking about? Y'all know? Okay, here we go. That little indestructible black box is used on planes. Why can't they make the whole plane out of that same substance? Right? Now, these are some questions that make you stop and say, huh? Right? What? But this morning, I want us to look at a question that isn't funny at all. Does it pay to serve God? Because if we're honest, there are times when we've all wondered, does it? There are times we get overwhelmed and things in life are just coming left or right, and we look at things and say, does it really serve to pay God? Because we look around and we see people who don't seem to care anything about God, and yet they seem to prosper, and everything just seems to go their way. Have we ever not thought that? I have, right? So, is it really worth it, is the question. Well, turn with me to the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, and as we look at this question, does it pay to serve God? Malachi chapter 3, verse 13. Malachi 3, 13. Look what it reads as this. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. Verse 17, they shall be mine. These people that do that, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Now may the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now as I read this, I couldn't help but think, haven't we all asked this same question at some point in our lives? Maybe we haven't come out and asked it privately, but internally we have asked this to ourselves. But haven't you ever thought, what these people were discussing, does it really pay to serve God? Well, Malachi brought an accusation against the people, right? He brought an accusation against them and said in verse 13, look what he says there. He says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. And they look at Malachi. The people look back at Malachi. The church looks back at Malachi and said, what have we spoken against the Lord? And Malachi turns to them and says, you have said it is useless to serve God. And what profit is it? Right? That's what we want. We want the profit, right? And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? And the people look back at him and say to him, to Malachi, that's right. They're saying, that's right. It is useless to serve God. And what profit has there been for us who have kept his ordinances? So let me ask, do you get what's going on here? There is a conversation bantering back and forth between Malachi and the messengers of God, right? Malachi is the messenger of God and the people of Israel. There's this bantering that's going back and forth. And they go on to say in verse 15, we call the proud blessed, and those who do wickedness, they're raised up. It says that even those who are proud and those who are wicked are raised up. We often look around at times as Christians and think nothing bad is supposed to happen to us because we look at ourselves and then we look out at the world with people who don't have anything to do with God and we think, look at that, they got it made. They seem to be prospering. The people are telling Malachi there is no retaliation. There's no retaliation to those who tempt God, to those who shake their fist in God's face, and even those who murder Christians and missionaries. They go free. And take note, during the time of Malachi's writing this, when he's writing this, the nation of Israel has strayed far, far from God. There was much sin among the people. Unbelief had moved in with many of the people, and the majority of the people did what they wanted to do instead of being in the will of God. They were doing what pleased them more than what they were doing to please God. Many of the people began to laugh at the prophets, poke fun at the prophets, laugh at them, and show no regard to the law of God. Meaning this, the people of God begin to think that living out the principles and the will of God was optional. It was something that maybe they could do if they wanted to do it. So in reading this scripture, I began to think how much that sounds like America today. The people who claim to be followers of Christ, right? Because many people are straying from God. Sin is everywhere. There are many who just do not care about what God's word says. Let me say that again. There are many who do not care about what God's word says, or what they do is they take God's word and they twist it to fit them. I tell you this all the time. The Word of God should shape us, not the culture. The culture shouldn't shape us. The Word of God should shape us. People have a tendency to look at the coffers of the world rather than the approval of God. What's in it for me? What profit is in it for me? And it was the same in Malachi's day, because during this time of which evil flourished, there were many that strayed from God. And so the people of Malachi's time and ours say, you know what? It doesn't pay to serve God. Now watch. They're right. Don't anybody throw anything yet, okay? They're right. It doesn't pay to serve God. By human observation, it doesn't pay. It doesn't pay to serve God by the standards of this world. It doesn't pay to serve God. Why? Because so much of the Christian world today says that prosperity is a mark of God's favor. How much I have, how much I own, how much money I have in a bank. That is how I know that God loves me. That's how I know I'm in God's favor. It's Christianity today says that prosperity is a mark of God's favor. That God wants a Christian never to be sick and never to endure tragedy. And that he wants our pockets to be lined with money. It's called the prosperity gospel. Somebody I heard say it, right? It's called the prosperity gospel. Now, you all have heard of some of those name it, claim it preachers, send money, you'll get rich, right? It's often called planting a seed, right? You need to plant a seed, right? Which means, it literally means this, send us money. Send me money, and the more money you send, the bigger blessing that God will give you. Listen, if I could have bought God, I'd have paid him a long time ago. I didn't buy God. God bought me. You get me? But you send this, and the bigger the seed, the bigger the blessing. But that's not the reality of Scripture, is it? We know the Word of God. I'm a little bit around here, right? That's not the reality of Scripture. In studying for this sermon, I was led to Psalm 73. Now, I am not going to read the entire psalm for you, but I'm going to encourage you to spend some time studying it later, all right? Basically, Asaph, I'm going to paraphrase, Asaph says this in Psalm 73, chapter 73, verses 1 through 3. Asaph, by the way, in case you were wondering, was a prominent Levite musician. He was a prominent Levite musician, and not just a musician, but also he was a prophetic voice who communicated God's truth through song. He was a worshiper. He did it through song. He was appointed by the king as the chief worship leader. That's who Asaph was. We call ours Mike. Although, you would go pretty good by the name of Asaph. We should start calling you Asaph. All right? You don't care, do you? Well, Asaph wrote this. Truly, this is what he says there in Psalm 73. He says, truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. Look at this. He's getting all this banter from all these people, right? Does it pay? Does it this? He says, and as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now, I'm going to paraphrase, like I said, down through the rest of this, right? He says, look, I looked around and I saw the wicked people prospering. I seen all those who didn't follow God, all those who really didn't care about God. I look around, I see them prospering. They seem to have everything they wanted. Their life seemed to be going well. Everything seemed to be good. There was no upheaval in their life. There was nothing really there. They seemed to be doing pretty well. They weren't struggling like everyone else. They weren't struggling like me. And I follow the Lord. I try my best. But they're not struggling like me. But instead, the worldly people, they're healthy, they're comfortable, they're wealthy, and seemingly free from the troubles that ordinary people seem to face. They were proud of themselves and all their prosperity. They treated people badly. They spoke arrogantly about God and acted as though they could live however they wanted without any consequence, and yet they seemed to be keep getting richer and richer and richer and more successful and more successful and more successful. And Asaph said this, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't get my head wrapped around it. I couldn't understand it. So he says, I began to wonder, what's the point of living for God? What's the benefit of trying to do what's right if people who reject God seem to have an easier life? That's the banter here. That's what's taking place here. This is the problem that's going on among the people of God. But then Asaph says this in Psalm 73:16. Look what he says. When I try to understand all of this, when I'm trying to make sense of it, right? When I'm trying to grasp it, he says, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. right? It got me down. It was tearing me down. I just was oppressed, right? It was oppressive to me until I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood. What did he understood? Their final what? Destiny. He says, yeah, he said, I almost stumbled. I almost stumbled. My feet almost slipped out of under me in my faith. And then I began to look around me and think, does it really save God? Until I walked into the sanctuary of God. And then I realized what their destiny is. He said, God, I wrestled with that. That's what he's saying. He's saying, God, I wrestled with that until that is I went into the presence of God. And when I saw things from God's perspective, watch, when I begin to see things from God's perspective, you're going to find this weird. When I started to see things from God's perspective, everything began to change. The culture's not to change me. The Lord's to change me. Everything changed. He says, I realized that I had been looking at the wrong thing. I was focused on the wrong thing. I had been looking at their present, these people's present, those people that seemed to be prospering that did not serve the Lord. He said, I had been looking at their present, meaning I'm looking this way instead of their future. He says, then I realized their prosperity was temporary. Their success was temporary. Their comfort was temporary. And then he realized, when he was in the presence of God, he realized something. God is eternal. Ooh. And suddenly, he says, suddenly I understood. I understood the way things look right now isn't the way things will always look. Look at me. The way things look right now in your struggle is not the way they're always going to look. God said he will right every... Is that now? That's then. Right? He says, I suddenly I understood the way that things look now... It isn't the way things will always be. There isn't always going to stay this way. He realized that there would be a payday someday. He realized that what God had for him, he began to understand what's in store for him. You know what he understood? He understood this. He came into the presence of God and he began to understand that what God had for him was far better than anything that this world could give him. That God would someday would reward his righteousness, right? And someday there would be retribution against the wicked, but it is not now. He's saying it's not now. It is in the future. But isn't it hard? Somebody say yes. Isn't it hard? Yes. It's hard for us as humans to think in terms of later as opposed to now, right? We want it and we want it. Now, so it's hard for us to think of later instead of now. And I believe that for this reason. I believe that's because we live in a society of I got to have it now. But Malachi says this. Look, point number one. He says, does it pay to serve God? It does it pay. It does pay if you value the attention over approval. If you value attention over approval. Now, what's interesting here to me is not what the people did. It's not interesting what the people did, but what God did. Look at verse 16. That's what's interesting, what God did. Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. They're out there and they're chatting and talking about them, this thing, about all this bantering, right, and what's going on. So, and the Lord listened and heard them. Do you understand the Lord listens and hears you as his children? You may think he's not, but he is. And the Lord listened and heard them. Look, so a book of remembrance was written before him. So notice this. What did God do? What did God do given in this situation of this bantering going back? What did God do? Listen, he gave attention to it. He gave attention to what was going on. He listened. There's a difference between hearing and listening, right, Ronnie? Yeah, we went over that in pre-marriage counseling, right? He listened. And who did he listen to? Who was God listening to? Us. He was listening to his followers, right? To his believers. So not only is there divine observation, not only did he notice, but there is eternal preservation. In the fact that, look, in the fact, how do I get that? In the fact that he wrote it down in a special book, a book of remembrance. Now, in this world, and even in this world, and even in the church, many times the things that Christians do are completely overlooked. There is not always a lot of recognition for those who serve the Lord. And if you're doing it for recognition, then you're also doing it for the wrong reason. But what a lot of what Christians do gets overlooked, right, for those who serve the Lord. But I can tell you this. You're better off not to have my attention. You are far better off to have God's attention. Why? Because he listens, he sees, and he hears. I may never know a thing about it, which is okay, because God does. God is keeping a record, right? That's what it's telling us. God is keeping a record, which leads me to this, right? God's attention matters more than man's approval, which leads me to point number two. It does pay to serve God. It does pay if you value the spiritual over material. Spiritual over material. Look for verse 16. Look what it says. For those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name, who dwell on his name, who look to get to know him in his ways, right? Who meditate on his name. Verse 17, they shall be mine. Says who? Says Larry Garrison? Says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. Meaning this, for those who meditate, those who literally put esteem or value upon the name of the Lord, right, in their lives, right, they put value and esteem in the name of the Lord in their lives, that there will be a day coming, there will be a day when God will make them his jewels. Now, this gives us a picture of kings in ancient days. Because they owned all the wealth in the empire. The kings had all the wealth, right? They owned all the wealth for miles and miles and miles in their whole entire kingdom, right? Well, when dignitaries came and the kings wanted to show off his wealth, he would call for the king's special treasurer. It was often a chest. You can almost imagine like one of those shows where they find this buried treasure chest and they open it up and you got full of jewels. So it was often a chest full of treasures, gems, rubies, diamonds, gold, and such. And you could just pick it up and run your hands through it. You could just let it sift through all this wealth, right? And God says, right, as they're doing that, he's all sifting their hands through all that wealth. And God says, there's going to be a day that I'm going to make the redeemed my jewel, my special treasure. Let me ask, do you want your treasure to be in and of this world, which is temporary? Is this where you want your treasure? Here? Now? Which is temporary? Now remember, you know the old saying, you can't take it with you. Or do you want an eternal treasure in God's kingdom? Believe it or not, unfortunately, many have chosen the here and now. We live in a culture of I got to have it. I got to have it. We need to have it. We need to have more, more, more. This country's greatest sin is that of, one of its greatest sins is that of materialism. We live by the Burger King motto. Have it your way. We have a Burger King religion. Have it your way. And we live that way in that we have so much. We have so much that we have to put our extra stuff in storage sheds. Now, I want to be very careful here. Is it wrong to have stuff? Is that what I'm telling you? Is it wrong to have stuff? No. I have stuff. Is it wrong to have stuff? No. Is it wrong to not save? It is not wrong to have stuff, but it is wrong to not save and give to God. It is wrong to not save and give to God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, it says, "What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul?" Understand, there are some people who have treasure. There are some people who have treasure, and there are some people who are treasure. There's some people who have a treasure, and there are some people who are a treasure for the cause of Christ. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says that we are God's special people. That's right. God called you special because you're His people. You see, the only thing in eternity that God is going to preserve is redeemed humanity. Because when the world that we know ceases to exist, the only thing that will be left is the redeemed, the children of God. Understand, many who die for the name of the Lord do not have treasures. Most of them don't even know where their next meal is coming from. So in man's standards, they're not a treasure at all. But they are a treasure to the Lord. So does it pay to serve God? Well, it pays if you value the attention of God more than the approval of men. And it pays if you value the spiritual more than the material, which leads me to point number 3. Serving God pays if you value the eternal over temporal. Eternal over temporal. Look at verse 17. Look what it continues to say. It says, look what it says, "And I will spare them. I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him." Notice what he says this. Look at the grammar. I will. I will. That's a definite in one aspect. I will. Also, it's a tense. Not now, but in the future. Now, how many of you are saved? You understand you're saved right now. But you understand you won't be in heaven to collect your reward until later. He says, not now, but in the future. Look, the truth is, God doesn't always stop the loss of a job. God doesn't always prevent the illness. God does not always stop your kids from getting into trouble. In this world, we have sickness, we have tragedy, we have grief, we have all the normal things as Christians living in a sinful and fallen world. And on top of all of that, we have the difficulty of standing firm in the midst of all this going on in our life. We have the difficulty of standing firm against a decaying culture. But yet, in that difficulty, we have Christians who live for the faith. Amen. We have Christians who live for their faith, and Christians who die for their faith, that they know that life is more than about the here and the now. Do you know that life is more about what's in front of you right now? Life is more about than what you're planning to do after church. But it's how we handle these difficult situations and how we face these struggles that makes us His jewels. That's what makes us His jewels. How do we handle this? How do we stand in the midst of all this life here. He will spare those who serve him. He will spare those who serve him. That's God's promise to you. He's going to make you his jewel, right? Therefore, the Christian life is not about the here and now. It's about eternity with God. That's what our salvation is about. It's about eternity with God. It's about us as his children being obedient to God the Father. The world asks, what am I getting now? That's what the world asks. But faith asks, what does God see forever? That's what faith does. How's God going to view this forever? Here, let me say it this way. What will God remember about me? Right? It's a different way of putting it, right? So does it pay to serve God? It does if you value the eternal over the temporal. And finally, point number four, it pays to serve God if you value this, others over self. Others over self. Listen, that comes down to this. Are you self-centered, what pleases you, or are you other-centered, what pleases God? Did Jesus Christ come to serve himself? Did Jesus Christ come to serve himself? No. Who did he come to serve? Us. Why? Because God wanted him to, right? He went to please the Father, so he decided to serve us. Look at verse 18. It talks about those who serve the Lord, right? Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. Now, that is, now how is that we serve the Lord? How do we do that? Well, we serve the Lord as we worship, right? We do that as we worship. What does worship like? If you oftentimes go to a lot of churches, is on the front of the head of the door header, as you're exiting the door, it says, enter to worship. It's not coming into the church. It says that going out of the church. How do we live for God? That's worship. How do we live for God? We love God, right? We love God, amen? Therefore, because we love God, we serve the Lord as we give them, as we give ourselves to ministry for others. We love others. Is this starting to sound familiar to you? Yeah, right? We serve the Lord in obedience, but primarily we serve the Lord by investing in other people. We serve both. Love God, love others. Serve both, right? Remember, the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples as he ascended into heaven, the very last thing that he said was this. He said this, go into all nations. So I ask you this morning, does it really pay to serve God? Well, the culture that we live in is no different than the culture of Malachi's day. So I honestly believe our culture would say, no. It doesn't pay to serve God. It's useless. It's a waste of time. I have more important things to do than that. Then you must remember this. That's okay for you, but you must remember this. There's no reward. There's no recognition. There's no reward or recognition for the godly. I don't need your recognition now. If that's the reason you're doing it, what'd I tell you? Don't do it anymore. But God, when asked, does it pay? When you ask God, when you ask the world, they say no. But God, when asked, does it pay? He says, yes. Yes, it does. It most certainly does serve to pay to serve me if you value my attention over man's approval. If you value my attention over man's approval, yes, if you value the spiritual over the material, what God is doing in us matters more than what we possess. Let me say that again. What God is doing in us matters more than what we possess. And yes, if you value the eternal over the temporal, if that's what your true value is, your value, if you value what you have here in front of you right now more than what God has, So if you value the eternal over the temporal, what lasts forever matters more. What lasts forever matters more than what lasts for a moment. That's what God is offering us. God is offering us, what he's offering is far more valuable than what the world is offering us. That's the sermon right there. And yes, if you value others over self, serving others means serving God, right? Matters more than serving ourselves. So yes, it does pay to serve God. It does pay to serve God, even if it doesn't seem like it right now. And one of the biggest ways that we serve him is to tell people about him, to spread his gospel, right? The true gospel. Not a money-based gospel, but a true gospel that Jesus loves you and he wants to save you no matter who you are. He died for you. So that's what he has for you. He wants to save you. That individually, each of us are to tell people about Jesus. This is our act of worship. This is how we love God and how we love others. That is what we have been called to do, to serve both. Even when we are going through hard times. Even when life is a struggle. And many of us in this place are there. Don't forget who you are. Remember, as Jesus, he say, easy to say that, the minister in the struggle. It's easy for you to say, Pastor. Yeah? Don't use me as your example. What did Jesus do as he was hanging, nailed to a cross, beaten beyond recognition? What did he do? He witnessed to the two thieves on either side of him. As he was dying. He was on his deathbed and sharing the gospel. So like Jesus, we are called to serve no more, no less. The Lord's not going to ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done. Because our service shows the world, listen, our service shows the world Jesus. And sometimes you are the only Jesus that people will see. Do you realize that? I mean, do you really get it? That you may be the only person that Jesus sees. Or that people see in you, is that you, they see Jesus in you. Well, they may have heard his name, probably usually in an expletive somewhere. But they don't know about him. They don't understand what a life in Christ is, what that means. It's not a religion, it's a relationship. You know, I have had people in this very place who have said to me, once they come unto salvation, had been in church, had been around church, their grandma witnessed to them, whatever. I had people who, once they come to salvation, they looked at me, and this was their words. I never knew. I didn't know. I never knew. It's amazing how much people can be around church, can be around spiritual people, can even go to church, profess they believe in God. And they may even act like they believe in God. Now, I'm going to share something with you that is extremely, extremely sad. I don't care who you are. This is sad. I saw on ABC News this past week that Jill Biden said she prayed to her late son, Beau Biden, as she tried to support the former president, Joe Biden, her husband, in his battle against aggressive form of prostate cancer. And here's what Jill Biden said in a podcast. She said this, quote, "I pray to Beau, and I think he listens, And now with Joe's cancer diagnosis, I get a little frustrated and I say, Bo, where are you? I need you. And I thought, how sad. How sad. She doesn't know. She doesn't know that there's only one son who can hear her prayers. It is not her son, Bo. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Bo Biden isn't hearing any of her prayers. Not even one for her husband to help him. Is that sad? Let me tell you, someone needs to come alongside of Jill and love her and tell her about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And say, listen, Jill, the one you're praying to is not going to be able to help you, as sad as that is, but I know the son that can help you, and he's willing. So listen, I don't ever want us to become comfortable and at peace sitting. It's comfortable to come and sit in a nice air-conditioned building. I don't want us to get comfortable sitting. I don't want us to be comfortable sitting in this building Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, hearing about Jesus, when there are some who never really have heard. Do you realize that there are Christians sitting in secret church services right now, maybe even right now, sitting in secret church services in places like China, Nigeria, Iran, and many other places this morning that would die, that would die, meaning they would be killed if they were caught. Do you understand that? They would be put to death if they were caught worshiping like we're doing right now. And they do it anyways. They come, they assemble, they worship, they spread the gospel, knowing they could die. Let me ask you in all honesty, don't raise your hand. I want to ask you in all honesty, if you thought there was a chance that because you came to church this morning, that if you thought that you would die here today, would you still come? They do. Why? Why? Because they believe it pays to serve God. Which leaves us really with no excuse. That's where it leaves us. It leaves us with no excuse. Because believe it or not, there are still people here in the Upper Ohio Valley who just don't know. And the truth is, our lives are not at risk. Who came here in fear today? Anybody come here in fear of you losing your life today? You come here in fear of being persecuted today? See, we're not at a risk for telling people about Jesus. So this morning, let me bring this all back to the question that we started with. Does it pay to serve God? The world says no. The world says, look at what you're giving up. Look at what you're missing. Look at all that you could have right now. Look at everything that you could build up right now. Look at all that you could have right now. And look at the people who don't look at the people who don't serve God and seem to have everything. But God says you're looking in the wrong thing. You're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking at the wrong thing. Because there's coming a day. You believe this? Do you really believe it? Do you really? There's coming a day when the things that seem so important today won't matter anymore. If you are called to eternity today, tomorrow, the next day, if you are called to eternity, understand there's coming a day when the bank accounts will not matter. The houses won't matter. The cars won't matter. The trucks won't matter. I'm pointing my fingers at myself. They won't matter. Football won't matter. Baseball won't matter. These possessions won't matter. The titles won't matter. The bank accounts and investments won't matter. Are all of these things bad things? Let me ask you again. Are all of these things bad things? Absolutely not. Absolutely they are not bad things. Until you value them more than serving God. I can't do you, God, because I got to do all of this and have all of this and build up all of this. Then it's wrong. Because listen, what will matter in the end, what will matter is whether you belong to Christ and whether you lived your faith for Him. That's what's going to matter. So maybe the question this morning isn't really, does it pay to serve God? Maybe that's really not the question. Maybe the question is, what or who are you living for? Self or others, meaning God? Who or what has your attention? Who or what has your heart? Who or what are you investing your life in? Are you living for the approval of people? Or even the approval of yourself? Or are you living for the attention of God? Roy, how many other things could you be doing than traveling around the state and leaving your wife at home most of the time? But you go help what? You help who? People. Are you living for the material or the spiritual? Are you living for what you can have today or what will last forever? Are you living primarily for yourself, or are you willing to invest your life in someone else? Because one day, and this is truth, this is not of me, we will all stand before God. And on that day, I don't believe any of us will wish. This is just me. Now it's me talking. I'm just putting it out there. I don't believe that any of us will wish that we had spent more time chasing the things of this world at that time. I believe we will wish that we had given God what? More. I think we're going to wish that we would have served more, loved more, witnessed more, invested more, because it does pay to serve God. Maybe not today, but there's coming a day. And He has a book, right? And it pays to serve God. Not the way the world measures it. Remember this. God sees it. God remembers it. God values it. And God will reward it. So this morning, if you've been discouraged because you've been serving God and wondering if it's worth it, I told you, I've said that before. You probably have too. You too. Maybe you've been discouraged because you're serving God and wondering if it's worth it. Then I want you to come. Go before the Lord. If you've been faithful, maybe you've been faithful. Maybe you're doing everything. Pastor, you're not preaching to me. Well, I thank God for that. But I guess this, you're tired. You're tired. Come, ask the Lord for His strength. If you've been wondering why God has allowed certain things into your life, come and give that burden to Him. He says, what cast your burdens upon me? If you've been measuring God's goodness by what is happening in your life right now, come and surrender that perspective to Him. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never truly surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. Then today is the day to settle that. The scripture says today is the day of salvation. So don't spend another day living for something that won't last. There's my sermon. Don't spend another day living for something that won't last. Give your life to the one who gave his life for you. Church, I know I'm your pastor, and I know you think I'm supposed to tell you this, but I want to tell you this from Scripture. It pays to serve God. Not because I said so, but because he said so. Let's stand. And as we sing, if God has spoken to your heart, you come. Listen, don't let the temporary make you abandon the eternal, right? Don't let the temporary make you abandon the eternal. Father God, I just thank you for your word today, and I thank the Lord that you are speaking to us. And Lord, we just need sometimes to check priorities, to have realignments in our life and that of spiritual alignments. And Lord, that we will always turn our main focus to you, because we know that the things of this world will grow strangely dim. But Lord, we want to be in your light. We want to be where you want us to be, doing what you want us to do, loving you like you loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. forget, if you can help up with the community breakfast, we need to know today. If you can, please sign that list back there above the water cooler. Amen? Amen. And Esaph and crew, we picked a great song to close with. All right.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Amen. So listen, don't go away from here if you don't know for certain that you would be good standing before God. Come and see me. All right? So listen, after today's sermon, go serve. Go serve. Go worship God. Go out there and serve. I love you all, and thank you for coming, and God bless you for being here, and you are dismissed. Thank you.
Come, Jesus.